Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Black Wealth Creation Show. This is your host, Sean Hill, and my co-host, the beautiful, wonderful, fantastic, and all-around just great person, Louisa Sanderson. And we are here just to hang out with you. I am so excited about this show. I was over here jamming to the music, doing my little chair dance, just getting busy because I'm glad this isn't taped. I'm glad there's no video of this. We might have lost everybody, might have lost the whole audience there. But I am so hyped about tonight's show. You know what, Brent, Louisa, I can't almost go a day on Facebook without somebody in one of our groups asking about nonprofits, you know, about how to start one, how to develop one, how to, keep one going. Have you found that same thing?
Well, you know what, Sean, I actually worked in the nonprofit world for some time, for some years, actually, and then I've always been volunteering in the nonprofit world. So that, for me, that was inherent for some time. But I'd say, especially over the past few months, I've probably experienced the same thing. Somebody wants to start a nonprofit. They have a passion, a mission. They want something. They want to start something, but they don't know how. And I think when you think about starting nonprofits, for some reason, that's even more daunting to people because that just seems like there's just a whole different world that most people aren't familiar with, let alone just starting their business. So I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm anxious to hear everything that Brandy has to say and the questions that everyone has for her.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's jump right in. Well, of course, this is the Black Wealth Creation Show. We're sponsored by SexyBigLashes.com. It's a new year. If you're looking for a new income opportunity to pay those same old bills, make sure you check out sexybiglashes.com, and we'll help you out with that. That's, of course, my wife, Chris, and I. We are looking to help as many people as possible make 2015 the best year ever. Well, I am so excited about tonight's show. Once again, we're talking about nonprofits. As you know, on this show, we have a love for nonprofits. We love them so much that we even have a special, section of our show that just highlights our nonprofit of the week. But before we get to that, we wanted to devote a whole show just to nonprofits because they do hold such a special place in our community. How do you create one? How does one become successful? How does one keep going? What are some of the pitfalls you have to watch out for? And we just have an expert in that field tonight. Brandy Adamson is one of my favorite people on Facebook because anytime somebody has a nonprofit question, I direct them to her, and she's always spot on with her information. But what I love about her is she always has a heart to give. She's always giving relevant and valuable information just for free, and that really shows her character as a person. So I can't wait to get to her. But before we do that, we have our Black Business of the Week, and I am excited about this one. Give me one moment. Let me bring Brian on here. Give it Brian, 1184. Because Brian is doing some incredible things. Brian, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Welcome to the show. You're welcome. We have a special session every week where we highlight our Black Business of the Week, and you are doing something special. You're kind of launching into new territory. Can you tell us a little bit about your business and how people can get in touch with you?
Oh, okay. Well, the name of my reality TV series is called Entrepreneurs of Baltimore LLC. Now, actually, the trade name is actually Entrepreneurs of the DMV. That's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And actually, we're actually starting this reality show is very unique because most reality shows nowadays, they start off with drama. They put business on the back end. We show the importance of, I mean, being a business owner. And also, too, there's other shows like, for instance, Shark Tank, that's strictly about business. We actually show a business from the ground up. And also, too, this reality show, we're going to show the making of it. Now, right now, I have two casts, which I'm actually, the good thing about this show is not only am I the owner of the show, but I'm not just sitting back doing reunions or just sitting back and watching people's businesses grow and me getting paid off of it. I'm actually in a reality show myself. I actually came out with my own cologne called Attraction by Foxworth Men's Cologne LLC. So I'm actually a main character in the show as well. My business could be a failing business or a successful business as well. And we have actually, and the website is www.entrepreneursofbaltimorellc. And my other cast is Ashley. She's actually just started modeling this year. She's one of the most famous models in Baltimore right now. She's all over the place. Plus, she's actually coming out with her own perfume on the show. And her unique story is she actually started modeling late. She always wanted to model, but her parents always instilled in her, get her education. So she just got her master's degree. That's the reason why she started off as a model at 26 years old. And and these are young people. And Chris, his label is called Caviar Society, only 22 years old, owns his own label, and looking for people to sign. And he's actually just got off stage. He's not a performer no more. He actually, has his own legitimate business. But the good thing about this reality show, we need more cast for it. So we're actually going to have auditions, but we're going to have final auditions, and we're actually going to pick for the final auditions 20 people. But the good thing about this is, though, you, the people, you get to vote in the cast because it's a thing called text to vote. So this is really going to be, very interesting, and it's going to be something new. I mean, I'm sure the youth is going to respect it, even as well as the older people, because it's going to be exciting.
Wow, that does sound exciting. So can you give us some dates or some times or just how we can get a hold of this information so we can make sure we check it out? I love it.
Oh, yes. And also, too, I give a whole big spill about my company, the Good Business Presentation, and it's awesome. It's starting to go viral, and we're on a lot of different crowdfunding sites. Because right now we only filmed about maybe 20 to 25% of the first season. So right now we're going after funding, sponsorship, and actually we start filming the rest of the season. We start in actually a few weeks. So we should be airing our first season within 4 to 6 months.
Wonderful.
Yes, but also, too, check out our video. Also, too, we're actually on a Melanie Matters talk show. I mean, we're actually starting to, pretty much go viral, and that's what we really need. The only thing that's holding us back right now is funding. That's why we're on crowdfunding sites right now. So check out our video, and if you like it, try to donate $1 if you can, because the good project of the day, because I know we can, off that video, we can actually, my business presentation, I know we can get the funding we need. We just need it to go viral, as far as basically, we need to make project of the day. And if I think that the right people see this, the right person, things can really make a big change with us. Now, also, too, to get project of the day, it ain't about how much money somebody donates to you or how much money. So if even if someone donated $10,000, basically, to get project of the day, it's about how many donations you get. So that's why So if I get 60 people to donate $1, that could help me out with project of it, help my company out with project of the day. If you really want to help too, even if you don't have funds, it's fine. Support us. Post this. Post our crowdfunding video on your page, so it can go viral.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. We'll keep in touch because I may have something special for you in our group. Of course. It's the Black Wealth Pledge group, and I may have something special for you that we can do in there because we want to support good quality programming like that. And so just stay in touch. How can people get a hold of you if they want to contact you?
Oh, great. I'm glad you asked. You can actually jump on my – we actually have Entrepreneurs of Baltimore LLC Facebook page. We also have a website, www.entrepreneursofbaltimoreLLC. We're actually on YouTube. You can check out our YouTube talk shows that we were on. Also, too, our crowdfunding video. Also, I wanted to mention, too, in the crowdfunding video in the beginning, State Senator Catherine Pugh, State Senator of Maryland, she's in there letting basically know, people know how important this show is. And, I mean, basically support us. But also, too, we're actually, I mean, those are the main places you can actually find us. Also, too, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Google+, we're on Vimeo, Daily Motions. I mean, we're out there. So those are just some of the basic places we're at.
Well, great. Well, Brian, I appreciate you jumping on. I look forward to helping you make this a reality. I hope you get as famous as Shark Tank, because I want to see more of your programming out there like that. All right, buddy?
All right. And also, too, I have my own personal Facebook page, which is Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T, and last name Foxworth, F-O-X-W-O-R-T-H. And thank you again. We love you.
All right, buddy. Love you. You stay strong and keep producing that quality content.
Okay. Sure will.
Louisa, before we get to our guest, our featured guest, I think we have a nonprofit of the week.
We sure do, Sean. And this week's nonprofit is actually someone who I've worked with over the past few months. They are local to the Texas area. They're actually local to you and I. They're in the Irving, Texas area. That's the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex for everyone else. And the guy who's on now, who's going to be coming on, his name is Richard Foster, and he is the co-founder of the organization. They are skill and faith athletes. And they're doing some really, really great things with the kids here in the local Dallas area. They are working with some of the schools and hoping to branch out into other organizations to really provide mentorship and some really great things with the kids. But I'm going to bring Richard on now and let him tell us more about the organization and share how we can support him and get in contact with him. Richard, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Richard, I was telling everybody, you and your co-founder are doing a lot of great things here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Can you elaborate on what Skill and Faith Athletes is and how you all came to start the organization?
Well, my name is Richard Foster. I am one of the co-founders, and my partner name is Henry Stewart. And just to give you a little bit of history about S&F Athletes, we came up with the name Skill and Faith Athlete. Skill is the first initial of my partner name, and F is the first initial of my last name. And we put a word with it, and with S we put skill, and with F we put faith. And when you think about the name represents pretty much everybody here as a human on earth. And if you got a skill, do you have the faith to use that skill? And do you have the faith to use that skill to be able to be a part of the team to help someone else have the confidence and able to use their skill as well? So that's how we came up with the name, and that's what the name stands for, Skill and Faith Athlete. Athlete is represent a team, and we feel that our name represent not just one group, but several group and age group of all teenagers that is out there.
All right. And what type of activities, what type of things are you all doing with the kids?
Well, we are focusing on mentoring, and one of the things we try to do is educate our youth as in becoming a well-rounded individual. And the thing that we focus on is education, technology, health and wellness, and life skills. And we feel those are the things that our youth would need to develop and become a well-rounded young man, young lady.
Great, great, Richard. And how can everyone get a hold of you if they want to find out more about the organization, talk to you about supporting the organization? How can we get a hold of you?
You'll be able to get a hold of me. You can reach me at email. You can email me at rfalser@sfathletes.com. Our website is www.sfathletes.com. com. The number you can reach me at is 817-874-8514.
All right. Thanks, Richard. I know personally you all are doing some great stuff, so I will encourage everybody that's listening right now to please check out the website and see what these gentlemen are doing. They're making great impact in the kids and the teens and the children of the Dallas area. So if you can in any way, please support them. Richard, now tonight's conversation and topic is about creating and starting and managing successful nonprofits. That's something that should be right up your alley. Do you think you'll be able to stay on and listen and possibly even participate in the call tonight?
Yes.
All right. We look forward to it, especially since you are a veteran to the nonprofit world. It'll be great to see what you've done, what you and Henry have done to overcome any pitfalls or any hills that a lot of nonprofits have to deal with. So if you'll just stay on the line, and then if you should happen to want to chime in or have a comment, just press 1, and Sean will be able to bring you back on. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Richard. Hey, I look forward to hearing more about your nonprofit, and you have shown up at the right place at the right time, because now we're going to get right into the show. Of course, we have the fantastic Brandi Adamson on with us, and she is a visionary and a strategist that helps nonprofits not just survive but thrive. She brings her many years of corporate experience to the private sector to help nonprofits meet the needs of those who need them most. Now, you can reach her, and she'll be talking about this a little bit later, but you can reach her at www.thesavane group.com. That's D-S-A-V-A-N-E group. .com. Brandi, welcome to our show. We're so glad to have you.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you, Sean, again for having me on tonight. Two weeks in a row. I'm excited. welcome everyone to the call. And I know I'm on to talk about nonprofits. So first and foremost, I want to tell people, before we even get started, to please run your nonprofit like you would any other business.
Mm-hmm.
So many times people feel like, well, it's a nonprofit, and yes, it is, and yes, it has a specific purpose, and it's operated a little different than a for-profit entity, but at the end of the day, it should be run like a business. So that means getting your foundation correct, forming legally, getting your bank account, keeping your business account separated from your personal. It means conducting yourself in your business as you would, whether it's for-profit or non-profit. So I just wanted to definitely bring that out. When I talk to my clients, that is the very first thing I say, is to remember to run a non-profit organization like you would any other business. So let's talk about a nonprofit. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's talk about what a nonprofit is for. Okay. A nonprofit it affords us an opportunity to give back to the community. So whether you are a person that launches a nonprofit entity to help, whether you're someone that wants to support a nonprofit, be it financially, by providing other resources, by using your network of influence, or providing professional services, that's what a nonprofit is for. It's to help give back to the community. It's to help make a difference in the lives of those that need it. So when you think about establishing a nonprofit, you don't want to make your mission too narrow, because when you do that, then you end up limiting your funding opportunities. A new client yesterday, and she said, I want to help African-American girls and focus on self-esteem and life skills. And I told her, I said, that's great, but I helped her to appreciate funding to help only African-American girls is pretty slim. So, and just to focus on life skills and self-esteem was slim as well. So we have definitely expanded her view and her vision for her nonprofit. So she'll be helping at-risk youth rather than just African-American girls. And not to say that that can't be her focus, because right now that is who she services. So we'll build on that foundation. So the first thing I want to talk about is to do your market research. We know there are millions of nonprofits across the nation. You want to make sure that your niche is unique, but not too limiting, as I spoke about before. So you want to just think about, what is it you want to do? I like that the gentleman that was on earlier, when he spoke about his nonprofit, yes, it had athletes in the name, but sports is not the only focus. So I definitely want to applaud you on that and appreciate that sports is not your focus, but just an integral part, but not the main focus, but that you have programs related to education, technology, health and wellness, as well as life skills. So that definitely shows that you've done your research. You've thought about who you want to service and what the need is of your niche market. Next, I want to discuss business plans. Many people don't believe that you need a business plan. I am definitely a proponent for a business plan. In addition to my consulting firm, I operate a coaching practice for entrepreneurs. And because I come from a philosophy as a consultant as well as a coach that I empower you and educate you, I don't want you to feel like you need me the entire step of the way 100%. I want to educate you and empower you to be able to operate your business. So a business plan is integral in that, because it's your guide, it's your map. It tells you, it keeps you on task, it tells you what your vision is, what you want to do, how you're going to get there, your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. So it really goes into how you're going to market your business. It's good to have that because it keeps you on task. A lot of people say, oh, you don't need a business plan, or they say, oh, just go online. They have you can get one from bplans.com, and yes, you can.
Go ahead. Brandy, I'm sorry to interject, but let me ask you a question. In terms of business plans, are there any points that you would tell your nonprofit clients as opposed to your regular business clients when it comes time to develop a business plan? What are the differentiating factors that you would recommend?
Oh, yes. Good question. Very good question. Because there are different styles of business plans, and I did not think to even list out the differences between the two. But just off the top of my head, you want to remember that your business plan, while it's your guide, you're also going to use that as a communication point for potential funders. So you definitely want to outline your programs. You want to talk about how you are going to become self-sufficient. You want to talk about who you're going to assist and what the end result is going to be. So, and for example, the gentleman spoke of a health and wellness program. So if he's going to work with a demographic that has a propensity to have diabetes and heart issues, but he's going to put a health and wellness program in place, then the desired end result is better food choices, weight loss, and an improvement in their health. So you want to be able to identify who you're going to target, what the issue is, how your program will improve those areas that need improving and what your end result will look like. So let's say you decide you're going to have a chef come in for 6 weeks to teach them how to shop and how to cook fresh foods and the importance of fresh fruit and fresh vegetables and how to make those healthy meals. Well, then at the end of that, you're going to have, you know, over a period of time, there'll probably be weight loss. There'll be, you know, their cholesterol numbers may go down and that type of thing. So you definitely want to make your case for why people should fund you. So why should they fund you, but also how you're going to become a sustainable entity as well.
Right. And, you know, I think in terms of the business plan, another point that you might want to cover is grant funding. I think when we are working as nonprofits or working with nonprofits, people don't tend to understand how not only important the business plan is for the nonprofit itself, but how it plays into that funding. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Yes, I can. I actually had grants as a completely different bullet, but yes, that's a good point to bring up, and thank you. As far as the grant funding, you need that information, your business plan, because that will correlate and feed into the grant requirements and the way you build your proposal. So you don't want to have to scurry around to find the information on how you're going to market your demographic, you know, information on your demographic. You don't want to have to, what was my vision? What did I say it was last time? You want to have all of that information in one spot. Your financials, that's another component of the business plan that you'll need to have. And it is required for many grants. They want to know where you sit financially now. A lot of business or a lot of grants are beginning to require a matching fund. So, and a matching fund is they may say, we're going to give you award a $5,000 grant, but you have to bring $2,500 to the table. So, how are you going to get your $2,500? You may not have $2,500 in your nonprofit account because you're brand new, but if you've built those relationships and identified those in your business plan, then you know you can go and ask a corporation that you've built a relationship with, or you may partner with the United Way to obtain that matching fund so that you can get that greater grant. So the business plan definitely plays a great role, and it's a tool that you need, a resource tool, when you begin to prepare your responses to grant opportunities.
Well, Brenda, I know one of the things you already touched upon is, you know, you have to run your nonprofit like a business. Can you tell us briefly, what are some other mistakes that you see nonprofits make, you know, either as they're getting started or as they're trying to survive?
Well, let's talk about as they get started. They don't take the time to really learn what a nonprofit does. A lot of people hear, oh, there's grants out there, there's government funding. That's a true statement. There's government funding. But when you really look at the grant opportunities, if there's a grant opportunity for $1 million, for example, and you're just starting out and you have no track record of anything you've done before, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get that grant. They're going to grant funds to organizations they believe are able, capable, and ready to fulfill their mission once they're given that funding. So it's important that when you seek grants, that you look at what's the amount, the award amount, how many awards are they giving, and really assess, are you prepared to submit for that grant, and do you expect to receive it? Yes, you'd love, if I had a nonprofit, I'd love out the gate to be able to get $1 million to run my programs. But realistically, that's not going to happen. Another thing, please look at the people that you select to be on your board. Friends and family, great supporters a lot of times, but they're not always the best people to have on your board. You want your board members to be able to bring money or resources, let me not say just money, but resources to the table. So whether it's money, whether it's a network, you know, their personal network, whether it's their personal professional relationships that can get resources, whether it's a building, money, even copies for your organization. Maybe you have a workbook that you use for a particular program, and if you start out and don't have funds for that, maybe somebody on your board owns a printing company, and they said, okay, I will in-kind you the printing service. So anything you need printed, just bring it to me. I'll take care of it. So you really want to think about the people that you put on your board. Maybe you bring an attorney on board or an accountant that can assist with those professional services. What else? There was something else. Just training for your volunteers and for your board members. A lot of people, maybe they have the expertise or even the desire to want to be on a board, but they don't know the responsibilities that lie with that, or a volunteer even. So you want to have training for them. And it's a continual thing. It's not a one-time checklist and go on your way. So you want to provide them with continual training, because the better equipped they are and knowledgeable of what their responsibilities are, they'll be able to help your organization to flourish. Something else, just back in and administrative things. Mm-hmm. You want to have your contracts in place, your contract ready. You want to have your and contract being for individuals that will be providing services through your organization. Say, for instance, for S&F athletes, I have a life skills program, and let's say he doesn't have a program, he just has an idea. So we decide to partner. Mm-hmm. I as a business owner, want a contract just as much as he, as the nonprofit owner, wants a contract. Everything should be in writing. In that contract, it should detail the fee for my service, how long I'll be working with people, what my deliverables are, what that looks like. Also, how payment will be dispersed, at what times and what intervals and what milestones. You want to, again, run a nonprofit just as you run a business. And I'm sure that we've all, in our in to help someone, have had an experience where we got burned, where we didn't have a contract in place. So, again, have a contract in place that clearly outlines the expectations for both parties. You want to make sure that you provide every donor with a letter of appreciation for that donation, and also ensure that you put on there, if it was a monetary donation, $500. You know, if it's something else, then they would, you know, put in the value that they believe that donation was for. Because you don't want to be at the end of the year and somebody say, oh, I gave Sean $5,000 for his organization when maybe I only gave $500. You want to keep your record straight. Because, excuse me, if someone says they donated and you don't have record of that, or you don't keep track of that, when you do your 990, then you'll have problems. So you definitely want to
be a problem.
Yes, it's a serious problem.
It's gonna be a problem.
So you definitely want to. Yes, and you don't want that to be a problem for you.
And then I know you've had a lot of dealings with nonprofits, and as you consult with them, what are some mistakes that you've seen that, you know, that they've made?
First and foremost, Brandy's initial statement was not running like a business. I think a lot of people get into nonprofits and they have a great heart and they do whatever it is that they do really well, but they don't understand that there's so much more that goes into the back end of running that nonprofit, not just from establishing it to on into running it and the planning and the need for the strategic planning, the goal setting, and keeping all of their ducks in a row. I'd have to say one thing that a lot of nonprofits forget about are their responsibilities as employers. Most of them tend to be volunteer-based, but there's usually one or two employees that kind of hold the glue together with all of the volunteers, but those employees just kind of get shoved under the rug because the mission and even the goal of keeping the volunteers becomes paramount. But they're still employer responsibilities that nonprofits have, whether it's paying your employer taxes, what you might have to offer in terms of health care and the Affordable Health Care Act. That's a big one for everybody, depending on the size and the type of business. And so I think they forget that they are still a business because at the end of the day, you're a nonprofit business, meaning you're not looking to necessarily make a profit, but you're looking for return on investment, and that's what your donors are looking for. They want to know where that money's going. How are you going to efficiently and effectively use those monies? Are you going to apply those monies to the proper programs that you applied for? So there's just so much. We could probably do a whole month worth of of what's important when it comes to running. Running a successful nonprofit, but Brandy's made some great points. And I know she's trying to touch so much information within our hour long segment. But I think her first statement of you need to run it like a business. That's the one thing that most nonprofits don't understand because a lot of them they didn't start off in business anyway. They probably started off in an area where they had a passion for something and they wanted to be able to provide it to the masses or be able to deliver some sort of a program to a certain community. So definitely it's about treating it like a business. And I think us as a community, and I know Brandy is really good about helping with free information, but us as a community of business owners, I think if we invest in those nonprofits and we're willing to either do pro bono services or reduce fee services, that's something that we as a community should be looking at so that these nonprofits aren't faltering or flailing because there's a lot of great services out there, but they need us as business owners who have a certain expertise, as Brandy mentioned, to either be on the board or to provide some sort of reduce service so they can keep going and they can be successful and self-sustaining.
Well, I tell you what, I think you must have picked up a hornet's nest because we actually have a couple of callers. And, of course, I see Richard. So hang in there, buddy. I see you there. But we also have another caller that wanted to get in and say something. So area code 214, you're on the line. How are you and welcome to the show? Hello, 214.
Oh, hi.
Are you there?
Hi.
Well, see, it sounds like you listen to the show in the background. I think I can hear it. You're on a delay.
Okay. Hi. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. You're just fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Great. Hi. My name is Brenda Jackson, and the reason I'm calling is I know there's a lot on the internet now about how to start a nonprofit big business. But I was wondering, is it best to just go through the Internal Revenue Service, get your application for the 501(c), do it that way, or actually contact an attorney or a professional service that can actually help you with this procedure if you're brand new to starting with a nonprofit?
This is Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
I would
I would suggest that you, if you don't feel comfortable in filling out the forms yourself, that you do reach out and connect with a professional. A lot of people believe that an attorney must fill out those forms for you, and that is not the case. They don't have, you don't have to have an attorney to fill out those forms. You don't have to be an attorney to fill out those forms. But I do encourage you to, if you don't feel comfortable doing that and don't have that expertise, to definitely connect with someone that does have that expertise. Because when you fill out the form, fill out all your information and submit it, if there's anything that's incorrect, you go all the way to the back of the line.
Oh, wow.
So they say, okay, we need X document, or you didn't answer X portion of the 1023. They send it back to you, and they say, please get it to us. But they put you at the back of the line. So they don't say, okay, give it to us, we're going to hold your spot. They say, get it to us, and when we get back to you, then we'll move forward. So, and again, that's another reason why my philosophy in business is not only to provide those services, but also to educate you along the way so that as we are doing, you know, as I'm filling out your forms and preparing your documents, you know what the document is for, you know why I'm asking for this information, and the puzzle will come together for you. Because, yes, I want to, and I do build long-term relationships with my clients, but I don't want to handicap you either, because that's not fair to you. You know, that's your business, and while in my company, we are here to assist you and empower you, we're not here to own your company, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay. It does. Okay, I have one more question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. What type of fees are involved with actually starting a nonprofit as far as the 501c3 application goes?
To become a legally recognized nonprofit organization, you have to submit the state form, and you're here in Texas. I think it's $25.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's $25.
Okay, yes, you fill out that form and you send that in. When you do your 1023, it's either $400 or $850. It's $400 if you don't believe within the first 3 years that you will raise more than $10,000. If you think you'll raise more than that, then you pay the $850. The thing is that you can start out, like today, I may not think that I'm going to raise $10,000, so I just pay the $400. But then when it gets to the point that I'm over the $10,000 over the 3 years, then you would send the IRS a check for the balance.
Mm. Okay.
Let's say today I start my nonprofit and I'm like, I'm just starting out. I don't think I'm going to raise $10,000. Well, then I partner with an organization and we end up raising $50,000, and we split it between the two organizations. So then that's $25,000 in the first year. So then you would contact the IRS, tell them that you've made more than the 10, and send them the rest.
Okay. And how long does it normally take for it to go through?
It's actually picked up. They have a, and I don't know if anyone on the call knows this, but now they have where you can apply online. So you don't have to, mail in everything. I haven't done that yet. I actually have a client, a new client that we're going to discuss it more tomorrow. But she wants to go that route, which is fine. I don't have any problems. So we're going to go that route. And it's my understanding that that's a faster process. And they're turning them around pretty fast. The last couple of months, they've been turning them, you know, they've been reviewing and approving applications really fast. Where about 6 months ago, it was, you know, 90, 120 days. A colleague told me the other day that it was like 45 days for a couple of people that she worked with.
Brandy, this is Louisa. Do you maybe want to also point out the differentiating factors between registering with the state comptroller and registering with the IRS? I think a lot of people new to the nonprofit world don't understand that, one, the registration with the state is not the same thing as the registration with the IRS.
Yes, I will. Thank you for pointing that out. Registering with the state it gives you the legal acknowledgement in the state of Texas. It does not mean that you are a tax-exempt organization. It just means that you have filed an entity as a nonprofit. Until you obtain your tax determination letter from the IRS that says you are a tax-exempt nonprofit entity, you cannot say that you are a nonprofit. And any monies or resources that you receive are not tax-exempt until that point.
Thanks, Brandy.
So if I
think
no problem. And that's a good point. I kind of forget. But if I go, like tomorrow morning or tonight, I could go online, file, say I have a nonprofit entity, file the paperwork. But I cannot call Louisa and say, oh, I got a nonprofit now. Will you donate $400 to my clothing drive? Because she's going to say, oh, may I see your tax exempt? Can you please provide proof? Or she'll go online and seek proof. And if that proof is not there, she's not going to give it to me. And then on top of that, what that does is that tarnishes my relationship with her, because she will think that I'm trying to get over. So you definitely want to make sure that you file with the state, but until you receive that letter of determination from the IRS, you cannot say that you're a tax-exempt organization.
Well, Brenda, here's what I would do. Before I contact the IRS or even a lawyer, I contact Brandy. That would be the first call I would make.
Thank you, Sean. Call me.
Well, all right, really. Well, wonderful to have you on here. Hang around. We look forward to having you on again. That is a good friend of mine from Dallas, and so I'm glad she was able to pop on. I love to just spend more time with. But actually, Richard wanted to hop on and say something. I want to make sure I get to him. Richard, did you have something to add?
Well, I was just going to add that comment on when you had asked her what are some of the mistakes you have seen people that have gone into nonprofit. One of the mistakes that I know we made was we got a little bit impatient, and we wanted to go out and just tell people about our passion, and we thought that people would really buy into our passion, and a lot of people end up taking advantage of that and end up using us. Using our passion against us. So I'm going to have to be very patient and very thorough with who you talk to and really do a background check on everybody that you talk to, because a lot of them going to come up to you and say they can do a lot of things for you and end up taking money from you and not deliver what they say they were going to deliver.
Richard, that's a great point.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that's a great point. And when you said that, do a background check, I'm glad you said that. When you speak to anyone about your programs in your nonprofit entity, I would encourage you to have them sign a non-disclosure agreement because that will allow you to have a free conversation freely with them, even myself included. Have a free conversation, but I can't take that information and call Richard and say, oh, I talked to Ms. Jackson, and she told me this is what she wants to do. You already have your tax exempt status, so go ahead and put that program together, because she told me about a grant that's coming due in 30 days. But what it allows us to do is have a free-flowing conversation about what it is you want, what I can provide, and moving forward that way. Also, ask for references. There's nothing wrong with it. If I was applying for a job, you'd ask for a reference or two.
That's smart, Brandy. And I think, you know, the non-disclosure, that's one that I hadn't even thought about, not in terms of the nonprofits. We think about that when it comes to technology or something proprietary like that, but not with nonprofits. So that, I think that's a great point. And just to speak on in that same frame, Richard and I we've actually worked together, and I know that for him the lesson learned was one that he and his partner learned very well, because even when he and I have worked together, I think they might have had spies on me, because he knew everything about me. But I think, you know, even if you don't do a quote unquote paid for background check, find out what's on this person's resume, find out what's on their LinkedIn profiles. It's easy to Google somebody these days and see if they're consistent, even in just what's online. There are quick ways just to find telltale factors.
Absolutely. Two more things I want to say, and Richard, just hearing you brought these up, remember, please, that grants fund programs. They don't fund salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that there's not money available within a grant for salaries, but funders don't say, I'll give you $50,000 to pay for your administrative assistant for the year. No, they say, I'll pay for your health and wellness program, because I know that it's going to help underprivileged youth to learn to make good food choices. So remember that the bulk of the grant funding is for programs. Yes, there is a percentage of the grant that goes to, of course, the people that will facilitate the programs, and then just administrative assistance just for the overall, but there are no grants out there that you can just apply for that are strictly for funding. I mean, for salaries. Also, keep good records. If you have an event, have a sign-in sheet. If you have a training course, have a sign-in sheet, and get as much information on that sign-in sheet as you can. Name, age, gender, ethnicity, anything that will help support and prove that the end result is what you're going to, that you're going to meet your end result. So if you're telling me that, and I'll use another example, let's say you want to do a home buying seminar and you want to educate people that are below the poverty level on financial literacy so that they can, and job readiness so that they can position themselves to be in a better place so that they can afford to buy their first home. Well, you want to have, you know, a question, and you can do it in ranges. It doesn't have to be, tell me how much you make every hour. But, you know, what is your annual salary? How many people are in your your household? Are you a male or a female? What's your zip code? Those types of things, because then you can use that data and say, well, we did this home buying seminar in Arlington. We had 400 people come, and of those, you know, 85% are below the poverty line, but, you know, and they're working, making X amount. You know, this 30% is, only 30% is above the poverty line. So when you can say that and show that, that gives more, that lends more support to what you're doing.
Excellent point, Brandy. I think when we when uh, in business, it's important to gather that information and data, especially when we think in terms of marketing and return on investment. But in a nonprofit, that goes by the wayside. We forget that that data migration, that data collecting is very important to show how we spent money, to show how well a program has come along, and even to prove to new grant providers or prospective grant providers or donors what we can do as nonprofits with money, or what type of an audience we are able to get in front of or help, as opposed to what we said we could do. So I think that's an excellent point as far as gathering as much information as possible in the daily operations and the program operations.
Well, you know, guys, I cannot believe it's 7:55 already. Where did the hour go? You know, I think we're going to have to call this How to Have a Successful Nonprofit Part 1, because obviously we have just scratched the surface. I know there are so many other questions that people have, and so many good causes out there that need not only funding, but need proper management and proper, you know, to be run in a proper way. And, of course, Louise, you have a background in this, so you've seen this up front. It's tempting sometimes to look at the needs out there and to want to meet those needs, but then shortcut things and don't do them in a proper way. And a lot of times, as you say, it's just simple ignorance. The people just don't know any better. I mean, as you said, they're into helping people. They're not business people. And there's a big difference. So, wow, the information that you provided, I'm talking about non-disclosure, board of directors. We could, as you say, we could go on for another 2 hours just talking about this. But unfortunately, we're right up against the clock, and I want to make sure that I give Brandy and Louisa a chance to say the last words on nonprofits. Believe me, we will have another show about it. So, Brandy, I'll go to you first.
Okay. Well, Sean and Louisa, I want to thank you again for having me on tonight. And, yes, there was a lot of information. I tried to cram in as much as I could. but, of course, there's plenty more even talking about funding, grant writing, until you get your tax exemption status, how you can do some fundraising and sponsorship development, branding your organization so that people take you seriously and don't just see you as a flighting company. But again, thank you for having me on tonight. If anyone has any questions or is seeking to move forward with their nonprofit, or they need assistance with establishing one, they need training for their board or any back office support, please visit my website at www.thesavanegroup.com. That's S as in Sam, A, V as in Victor, A, N as in Nancy, E, G as in R-O-U-P as in Paul.com.
All right. Thank you, Brandy. Like I said, we will be in touch, and I'm excited to talk to you about, and Louisa, to talk to you about doing a whole show on government contracts, and I know that's close to your heart, and I think you think we're missing out on a lot of money that we could be taking advantage of. Is that right?
Yes, as a people, yes, we are. A lot of money. But look, that's another talk show.
All right. Louisa, what have you got for us as we take it on home?
Sean, first I want to thank Brandy for being on. She brought up some really great points, and like we've all said, this could go on for another couple hours, another couple shows, because nonprofits, there's just so much more that goes into them, and not to discount a regular business, but there's just so much more. Even having worked on both sides, I think people really don't realize the amount of reporting that goes into nonprofits, so that's really an important factor. I'm looking forward to part 2, 3, and 4, as Brandy mentioned, the other aspects, the branding, the marketing. And to me, there are some fun parts of nonprofits, because it's not just about the back office stuff, which is very, very important, but there is the marketing and the branding and the event management, and there are a whole other genre that goes along with nonprofits that are important with running and operating a nonprofit, because there are, you have to be able to woo those donors and get those corporations excited about your mission and your goals. If anybody wants to contact me, this is whether it's about a nonprofit, whether it's about a business, and or any or otherwise within the Black community, you can reach me at info@mindyourblackbusiness.com. The site is currently down for redesign and migration. It's getting a facelift, but we will relaunch February 1st. And I am, as always, I'm looking for great business minds, people with a passion, nonprofit founders, or anyone who is in the Black community making an impact. So if you have something that you want to share with the Mind Your Black Business community, please be sure to hit me up. And again, that's info@mindyourblackbusiness.com. Sean, as always, thank you for having me on, because without you, I would be stuck behind my computer and just tapping my keys at everybody and everything.
Well, I tell you what, you are one of the hardest working women I know. So I'm going to call you the James Brown of Mind Your Black Business. You definitely are putting in some work. And Brandy, I see her on Facebook all the time putting in work. Hey, one of the things I want to share with you as we leave out tonight is make sure, I know some of the towns that's already open. My wife and I will probably go see it this weekend. Selma's coming out. And so I want us to make sure that we go out and support that movie and support our movies like that. And there are a whole lot of different feelings about, well, this, that, and the but hey, go. It's historical. I think from the reviews I've heard, it's well done. So I'm going to be checking it out. And if you want to get a hold of me, whether it is about your business or you want to increase your income in any way, you can definitely give me, just send me an email. I'd love to talk to you about it. You can contact me at Sean, SHAWNHI77@yahoo.com, or you can come on and join our group, the Black Wealth Pledge Group, where we pledge to spend $20 per month with a Black-owned business, and we're making a difference. We're all, Louisa, can you believe in our group we're almost up to 400 members in 1 month?
That's awesome. That's awesome. And we have some great people who are not only pledging, but they're showing what they've spent. They're sharing their experiences. and you know, of course, we're on Facebook, so we're sharing our Facebook pages of our favorite Black-owned businesses. So that's awesome. Almost 400. Wow.
Ooh, all right. It's all about working together and making it happen. 2015 is the year of making it happen, not talking about it happening. And so we are making it happen in Mind Your Black Business, in the Black Wealth Pledge Group. We are changing things in our community. And once again, Brandy, cannot thank you enough for being our guest tonight. Wow, I am looking forward to our show for next week as well. What are we all on? We're on social media. And so next week we're going to talk about how to explode your social media. How do you make an impact? How do you make your footprint even bigger on the social media landscape? And, of course, just like with nonprofits, you can talk about that for hours, but be on the lookout. I'm going to be posting that show really, really soon. But next week, be here, same time, same channel, and we're going to get your social media engine revved up. Until then, may God bless you and richly reward everything you do and give you favor with everyone you talk to. Remember, be Black, buy Black, and build Black. This is Black Wealth Creation signing off. You have a wonderful week.